Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 12 of the PE Geek podcast. And as always, it's an absolute pleasure to be here. I know I say that every single time, but I really mean it. I really appreciate the fact that people take the time to listen to the podcast. You know, I appreciate the fact that people log on to thepeergeek.com and read the blog posts and read the newsletters that get sent out and sign up as members and all the things that people do to follow along with the content. Now, I absolutely love podcasts. I think they are a perfect fit for my life in that I can listen to them while I'm doing other things. And considering I regularly commute, I commute every day to work, they are an absolute part of that experience. So if you're doing something similar and you're listening to this podcast while you're commuting, fantastic. I mean, that's what I've built this for, because I know that not everyone gets a chance to read through the blog post. So thank you. Now, to thank me for producing it, one of the things that you can do is to head over to thepeergeek.com/iTunes and leave a review. And I mean, leave an honest review. If you think the show is worth 5 stars and you get a lot of value out of it, place that down. If you think it's worth 1 star and, you know, we don't give enough value, then let us know what we can do to improve. Ultimately, I'm interested in seeing how this podcast can be grown. And I'm also interested in seeing how we can get it in front of more people. And the more people that leave reviews, the more people that actually end up seeing it. So head over there and leave an honest review. I'd absolutely love to see what you think. Now, on to today's episode. There's a couple of things that we're interested in exploring. Got a couple of questions from listeners. I'm also looking at showing you a few apps that I'm playing around with at the moment, and also trying to think about an app that I can build in a similar space. So, I mean, once you've listened to the apps that we're looking at, maybe you'll have some ideas for me. However, I've also just recently released the PE Apps app, which you may have or may be aware of, on iTunes. Now, it's been around for a couple of years. However, it used to be 99 cents. However, I've decided it's now available for free. And you can head over to the App Store or go to thepeergeek.com/PEApps. And it will redirect you to the App Store to download. Now, PE Apps is a directory of mobile apps on the App Store with the explanations of how they work and how I've used them in the class and so on. So if you're interested in using apps in your class, particularly PE, then go and check out the PE Apps app. Sounds quite funny, doesn't it? The PE Apps app. Now, as we all know, video games can be an incredibly powerful learning experience. And I mean, all you got to do is look at the amount of engagement that these games tend to bring along. And I mean, they're well designed to actually be engaging. They're designed to be rewarding. And good games actually can teach students a concept or whatever it is really, really well. I mean, that's part of the reason why they're so addictive, in that they actually set up the actual behavior inside of the game in such a way that, I mean, you have to progress through the game. I mean, you think about a student who is, completing any sort of video game, and I mean, they're not discouraged by the lack of success they might have. What they do is they end up trying again, and they try again, and eventually they get success. And I mean, I often think about why this is so prevalent inside of a video game, but yet rarely seen in the classroom. And I mean, it's got me often thinking about why it would be really powerful to design experiences that actually model this game theory that is really successful in traditional video games. So today's episode is going to be looking at a series of mobile apps that can be used in a classroom experience that actually utilize this idea of game theory to try and motivate improvement. And there's a whole host of them, really. And, you know, some of them are tokenistic in that, you know, you could use them for a couple of minutes here and there and teach students a certain concept in a way. You know, maybe it's raining and you have to be indoors and etc. However, there's a couple that really are game-breaking in terms of what they do to improve physical activity or improve performance and integrate this in a way that is some sort of game. And the game is what motivates them to come back again and again and again. Now, if you've listened to me recently and the launch of Active Globe, then, I mean, you'll be very understanding that it is a website I've designed to improve physical activity, particularly related to running and cycling and jogging, etc. And inside of that, I've been very consciously developing game theory into the experience so that as students progress, they receive rewards like they would in a game, and they sort of level up like they would in a game. I mean, this is particularly important for students continuing to experience success and continuing to stay motivated. There's a whole host of apps that continue to do this. Now, the first one I want to share with you is called Walk the Game. And quite simply, this is a superb mobile application designed by the Six to Start company, who also put out another game we're going to look at in a moment. However, the Walk, as it's called, is a paid app designed for iPhone. And quite simply, it is like a pedometer in that it tracks you while walking. However, it also integrates a story into the actual experience. Now, I mean, the basic premise is you turn the app on, place it in your pocket, put your headphones in, you can play your music, etc., and you just go for a walk. And in the first episode, you're basically tasked with walking for about 33 minutes. Now, I mean, that's ideally the sort of physical activity you need to complete every day. However, along the way, you cross particular points of interest in the game, and you obviously have to interact with the story when you get to that point. So ideally, the setup is that there's a bomb and it explodes at a train station, and you're given a package that could save the world. And throughout the game, what you actually have to do is walk the equivalent of the UK, incrementally, of course. However, it's not just about the walking anymore. It becomes about the story. And I mean, if you've gone from not walking at all, and all of a sudden you're walking, and it's not just for the fact that you want to have improved health. I mean, that's great. That's what we're ultimately trying to achieve. But it does it in a way that improves your physical activity and engages you at the same time. I mean, you're more likely to adhere to it. I mean, it's fantastic. This whole notion of using game theory to improve learning and improve adherence to physical activity is superb. So definitely go and check out The Walk. It's absolutely a gripping story, and you feel like you are, in fact, in a game and in a really big journey that is really important. As you walk along, you pick up items and rewards and all sorts of things, and I mean, absolutely superb. Now, by the same people who made The Walk comes Zombies Run. Now, Zombies Run is, one of my perennial favorites, and I absolutely remember the first time I ever used this app. I remember it was crowdfunded by, I think it was on Kickstarter, so people contributed to the development of this tool. But essentially, it's like The Walk, however, it's all related to running. And inside of it, you assume the identity of a runner 5. And essentially, you place your headphones in, you start the activity, and you start running. And as you're running, the story interacts in your head, and all of a sudden, you're in this post-apocalyptic world where your mission is to avoid capture by the zombie horde, however, return equipment to your base. And as you run, eventually, you do come across zombie chasers, and you have to outrun them, and it's absolutely superb. I mean, I remember the first time I did it, and I was running as fast as I could when I was being chased by the zombies. This is sort of like an interval training activity without me being sort of realizing it that it was. I actually came across a traffic stop, and I had to make the choice, do I get mauled to death by this zombie horde that's chasing me, or do I break the rules and run across the road? And I mean, I stopped. I did stop, and I did wait, and I had to restart the mission because I got caught. However, the experience was really powerful, and it actually changed and began that initial motivation for me to start running again. And ultimately, I ended up running my first 14-kilometer run for the kids, which is a race here in Australia. And it was this that actually got me started with getting back into regular training, and it was the initial seed that I needed. In a school setting, I mean, I've seen schools that have used it. They've actually had students install it on their own device. I mean, that's something you could do. Alternatively, you can just place the iPhone in a music dock and play the music around your gym or outdoor area while all the kids run and interact it in a way such as that. Absolutely awesome. So go and check out Zombies Run. And if you want to visit a web link for it, it's thepeergeek.com/zombies. It'll take you straight there and you'll be able to download it. Now, another one of these apps in the same type of idea as being sort of an active gaming experience is a recently released app called NFL Play 60. And it's designed by the American Heart Association. And it's an absolutely free app and available on iPhone and iPad. Anyway, download the app and you basically assume the identity of the character inside the game. Now, if you're familiar with the game Temple Run, which is an endless runner activity, where you had to swipe on the screen to make your runner run left and right, etc., and collect coins. I mean, then you'll be pretty familiar with what NFL Play 60 is. Essentially, hold your device and you actually have to start running on the spot. I mean, you physically have to run to make the character in the game move. Now, as you approach a set of coins, you have to tilt your device left and right. And I mean, your runner moves left and right. At certain stages, you actually have to jump as well. And you physically have to jump to make your character move on the screen. It actually becomes really quite fun as you're running through this virtual, this street in the game, and you're trying to run as fast as you can to collect as many coins as you can. And all of a sudden, you realize you're actually quite fatigued, and all you've done is interact with this this game, which is teaching you to get moving and doing it in a way that gamifies it, so you don't even realize that you're being involved in physical activity. I mean, sure, going out and actually running for the for health benefits is ideally what we want the people to, what our students to do. However, if we have to initially use a tool such as this, which is free, available, then, why not? Why not have this as the initial seed that gets people interested in being physically active? And then we can take these tools away and, we'll see how that translates into physical activity for the sake of internal reward rather than, external coins or competition and prizes. However, it's absolutely well worth checking out. Now, the other one that I'm interested in sharing with you is called Motion Rugby. And I mean, I was playing with it recently. It's just a bit of fun as well. Quite literally, you place your iPhone or your iPad down and a horde of players, rugby players, come running towards you. And I mean, they assume different positions on the screen and you've actually got to dodge left or right to get out of their way. I mean, if you get hit, your game's over and you got to try and, dodge as many of them as you can. And all of a sudden you are interacting with the screen in a way that you probably would never have thought was possible with some of these devices. Cool thing is, I mean, while an adult might find motion rugby quite easy to do, I mean, you give it to a younger kid and there's some fundamental motor skills that need to be quite successful in that student before they are able to even do that. I mean, they've got to look at something on a screen, interpret it into an action. I mean, that's something we learn and it's something that we can definitely use to teach that particular fundamental set of motor skills. So well worth checking out. And if you wanted to go and use either NFL Play 60 or Motion Rugby, you can visit thepeergeek.com/play60 or thepeergeek.com/motion rugby, and it'll redirect you to the store where you can download them. And finally, the last one of these active gaming apps, and I mean there's heaps of them, there's a whole section of active gaming apps inside of the PE Apps app. However, one of the ones that I use at the PE Geek workshops around the globe is BitBreaker, and I think BitBreaker is fantastic. Basically, it's just a version of Pong, the old school computer game where you had a paddle and a ball. However, in this case, you actually control the paddle by moving left and right, and you place the iPad down on your table, have the screen pointing towards you. You move left and right, and you jump to release the ball, and quite simply, it hits the blocks, and you have to keep moving left and right to rebound the ball. It's a heap of fun. And again, I mean, we can do it quite well. However, there's a lot of learning that takes place before we're able to successfully interpret that and have it used in the classroom. I mean, have it used inside of BitBreaker. So if you want to check that one out, it's thepeergeek.com/BitBreaker. And yeah, you'll have fun because it's another free app. Now, one of the things I absolutely love about working online and writing the Peer Geek blog is the amount of questions and emails I get daily regarding technology and PE. I mean, it's grown incrementally, and then all of a sudden it exploded, and I end up with countless requests and thoughts and opinions on particular things, and I absolutely love answering these. However, I'm encouraging people to head to thepeergeek.com/voicemail and leaving their question as a voicemail message, and I'll actually use these messages inside of the podcast episodes. Now, today I have a question from Brendan Jones, and he is, without a doubt, one of the original Peer Geeks. In fact, he was there right back in the early days, 2008, talking and blogging about and tweeting about technology and PE. Absolute legend, and one of the people that I think needs as many followers as possible because the work he does is astounding. And one of the things he posted about this week on Twitter, in fact, on his blog post, was something he's doing in his prac classes. I mean, not related to technology, but I think it's fantastic. Essentially, if you've ever seen the show MasterChef, then you may be aware of the mystery box challenge where contestants get given food, which is at first a mystery, ingredients, I should say, and they have to think quickly and turn that into a meal. And everyone does something a little bit different and et cetera. Now, he's using a version of this inside of his practical class with his year 10s, I think they were. And quite simply, the students walk into class, they have a mystery box, and that mystery box is a series of sports equipment, and the sports equipment is random. I mean, it includes something that they can throw around between the group, I mean, a frisbee or a ball, etc., and then it's got other things that they can use for scoring and so on. Anyway, the students get a quick glance, and then they get from the time it takes to get changed and back to the equipment to think of a game. Now, they work in groups, and they have to come up with a game and scoring and concepts, etc., and then they ultimately play them, and each group gets a chance to show their game and show how they're going to use the equipment. Now, Jonesy uses this opportunity to actually talk strategically about, okay, what could you do to change the strategy, make this harder, make this more difficult? What happens if you change the ball? How would this change the game, etc.? So brilliant concept, non-tech PE related. I mean, you could definitely use tech to randomize the equipment and so on, but I mean, this is PE at its best, and having kids think tactically about their experiences is awesome. So I just wanted to share that. However, I'm going to pass it over to him, and he has a great question for the podcast.
Hey Jared, Jonesy here. Got a question for you. What do you think the biggest mistake is when people start using tech in PE?
Thanks for the question, Brendan. And again, thanks for listening and doing everything that you do online. Constant source of motivation to keep things real. And I think that's where this question comes from, which is fantastic. So, I mean, tech and PE, as we know, is pretty exciting, and there's so many things out there, and you know, everyone wants to try and include and use everything. I mean, and Twitter makes that definitely feel like you have to. I mean, it makes you feel like you need to use every single piece of technological tool that we blog about, talk about, write, you know, episodes about, etc. However, at the end of the day, I mean, the biggest mistake people make is they try and do everything. However, they completely forget that at the heart of all of the things that we're trying to do in PE, it is physical activity and lifelong movement. I mean, we get situations where people completely lose sight of that, and it becomes about the technology, it becomes about the tool. Ultimately, I think that's the biggest mistake people make. I mean, it's all good to be excited about particular tools. However, we need to remember that the whole reason they're being used in the classroom is to aid the learning. In our case, it's to aid the physical activity. So, I mean, looking at anything in that particular way, I think is the best practice. And, you know, I've been guilty of doing it before. I mean, early days, I've looked at particular things and used them and thought, you know, that'd be fantastic. Let's try it. And then thought, hang on, it probably wasn't as good as what I was doing before, whether that was using tech or whether that was without tech. However, now, these days, I'm very conscious of ensuring that anything I do and use actually has the learning that I'm trying to instill in my students at the very heart of the problem. I mean, if we think with that as the ultimate goal and then think, okay, what tools could be used to help increase the learning in this particular way? I mean, I think that's the best particular approach. Now, for me, I mean, I value any sort of technical tool if it does one of three things. I mean, if it improves student learning, or if I think that it improves student learning in terms of what I observe and what I actually get from my students, then I value it. I think it's worthwhile. I mean, in the particular case of video analysis, having my students trying to learn to do an overhead smash in volleyball with my verbal instruction, and then having them the next week use their use coach's eye to actually do a comparison and see what they were doing. I mean, I knew that they benefited from this, so I valued that, and I think it's worthwhile pursuing. I mean, I also value it if I think it improves my teacher learning. So if I see and use a tool and I think it improves my ability to learn and take up content and use it, then I think it's fantastic. However, I also value a technological tool if it improves teacher efficiency. And I think if we can be more efficient and we can be more, we can do things faster, and do it still at a high quality, then ultimately we have more time to improve student learning, improve teacher learning, etc. So if it does one of those three things, improve student learning, improves teacher learning, or improve teacher effectiveness, I value it. Outside of that, I mean, sure, things can still be fun and they can still be engaging. However, we still need to remember that our ultimate goal is to improve the learning of our students. And I mean, if we think about that when we're designing tasks and using tech, I mean, we can't go wrong. So hopefully that's helped and that's answered your question, Jonesy. I reckon you'd be on the very same page with your thoughts related to this. However, if you've got a question that you would like answered, then head along to thepeergeek.com/voicemail. Leave your thoughts and I'll place it into an episode. So thanks a lot for tuning in to another episode of the Peer Geek podcast. I do really appreciate it, and I just like the fact that people are actually listening to it. I mean, as long as people are doing that and finding benefit in things that we're talking about, then I'll continue to do so. Thank you. I'll see you in episode 13.